Radio Hangar here. Pull up a seat. Let's talk flying. This is ATIS. I'm Tower. And today we've got a mix that covers everything from the future of how you sit on an airplane, to a stealth bomber finally showing its topside to the world, to legislation that could change the way we talk about what's going on between a pilot's ears. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's lead with the story that caught everybody's attention this week. A company called Chaise Longhi is turning heads at the Aircraft Interiors Expo 2026 with a double-decker seating concept designed specifically for the Airbus A350. The idea is simple in theory, radical in practice. Stack passengers on two levels within the same cabin cross-section. The upper level reclines into something close to a lie-flat bed. The lower level tucks underneath with its own space and screen. And the pitch they're making is that airlines could offer business class comfort at economy prices. Now, here's what you need to know. This is still a prototype. Nobody is flying this configuration tomorrow. But the reason it matters is that it attacks the fundamental problem airlines have been wrestling with for decades, which is how do you fit more revenue-generating seats into a fuselage without making passengers miserable? The traditional answer has been to shrink pitch, narrow seats, and charge for everything else. This concept flips that script. Instead of making economy worse, it tries to make a new class that's genuinely better without requiring the square footage of a traditional business class cabin. For those of us in general aviation, you might wonder why this matters to you. Fair question, but if you fly the airlines to get somewhere your bonanza can't reach, or if you're watching industry trends because you work in aerospace, this is worth paying attention to. Cabin innovation drives ticket pricing, route economics, and ultimately which airframes get ordered, and that trickles down to engine production, avionics development, and the broader supply chain that touches all of aviation. The skeptics will point out that certification is a massive hurdle. Emergency egress with a two-level layout is not a trivial problem. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, and the European Union Aviation Safety Agency both have strict requirements about how quickly every passenger can evacuate. A double-decker seat arrangement would need to prove it can meet those standards. That's a long road. But the fact that they're building physical prototypes and showing them at a major expo tells you this is more than a napkin sketch. Speaking of Airbus, let's talk boardroom news. Airbus shareholders approved all resolutions at the company's 2026 annual general meeting on April 14th. The big headline there is that Airbus is tapping Moraleda as the next board chair, replacing Obermann, who is preparing his exit. For most of us, boardroom shuffles don't change how we pre-flight an airplane. But Airbus leadership matters because their strategic decisions on production rates, new programs, and supplier relationships ripple through the entire aviation ecosystem. Moraleda's background will shape whether Airbus leans harder into innovation or plays it conservative on the production side. Worth watching. Now let me shift gears to a story that hits closer to home for every pilot listening. Legislation addressing pilot mental health is moving forward in the United States, and it has bipartisan support. The language in the bill targets what lawmakers are calling a dangerous culture of silence around mental health in the cockpit. And honestly, that phrase is hard to argue with. Here's the reality. For decades, the system has created a perverse incentive. If you're a pilot and you're struggling with depression, anxiety, or any psychological issue, the rational career move has been to say nothing, because disclosing a mental health condition to the FAA can ground you. It can trigger a lengthy and expensive process of special issuance medical certification. It can end a career. So pilots stay quiet. They self-medicate. They avoid seeking help. And that is not a safety system. That is a safety risk. The headline doesn't tell the whole story on this one. The bill doesn't mean the FAA is going to stop caring about whether pilots are fit to fly. What it aims to do is create pathways for pilots to seek treatment without automatic career consequences. The goal is to separate the act of getting help from the act of losing your medical. And if that sounds familiar, it's because aviation safety experts have been saying this for years. The current system doesn't prevent unfit pilots from flying, it prevents struggling pilots from getting better. This affects you if you hold a medical certificate. It affects you if you fly with other pilots. And it affects you if you care about the long-term safety culture of this industry. Whether you're a student pilot or an airline captain, a system that encourages honesty about fitness to fly is better than one that rewards silence. Full stop. Let's lighten it up a little. The United States Air Force released its first official photographs of the B-21 Raider during aerial refueling tests. And for the first time, we're seeing the top side of this aircraft. The images show the B-21 connected to a KC-135 tanker, and if you're an airplane person, and I'm guessing you are, these photos are something else. The B-21 has been one of the most closely guarded programs in military aviation. Northrop Grumman has kept this thing under wraps for years. The fact that the Air Force is now publicly acknowledging aerial refueling tests tells you the program is reaching a level of maturity where they're confident enough to show progress. Aerial refueling is a critical capability for a strategic bomber. It's what gives the platform global reach without forward basing. And for a stealth aircraft, the refueling envelope, the way it interacts with tanker wake and boom dynamics, is a significant flight test milestone. For those of us who fly piston singles, we're not going to see a B-21 in the pattern. But this is aviation history unfolding, and it's worth appreciating the engineering that goes into making a flying wing stable enough to hold formation with a tanker and take on fuel at altitude. Now, while we're on the subject of airframes that shape the industry, Simple Flying ran a piece this week on 6 aircraft that changed airline economics forever. I won't walk through all 6, but the core idea is worth a minute of your time. Certain airplanes didn't just fly passengers, they fundamentally rewired how airlines make money. Think about the Boeing 707 opening the jet age, the Douglas DC-3 making scheduled service profitable for the first time, the Boeing 747 creating the wide-body category and making long-haul travel accessible to the masses. Each of these airplanes didn't just represent a technical achievement, they changed pricing structures, route networks, and business models. When you look at something like the chaise longue double-decker concept we talked about earlier, it's part of that same continuum. The airframe and the cabin configuration together determine the economics. And speaking of economics driving aircraft decisions, Singapore Airlines continues to operate the Airbus A380 on its longest routes. Singapore was the launch customer for the Super Jumbo, and while most other carriers have retired or are retiring their A380s, Singapore keeps flying them. The reason is straightforward. On ultra-long haul routes where you need range and you want to offer a premium product, the A380 still delivers. The per-seat economics work when you fill the cabin, and Singapore's network and brand allow them to do that. It's a reminder that there's no single right answer in aviation. The best airplane is the one that fits the mission. All right, let's bring it in for a landing. Today's stories came from Simple Flying, Aerotime, and The Aviationist. As always, I'd encourage you to read the full reporting from those outlets. We pull from their work to bring you the headlines that matter to pilots. ATIS is a production of Radio Hangar, an AI-generated broadcast created by pilots who care about this industry. Everything you heard today was assembled and delivered by artificial intelligence, and we believe in being upfront about that. If you want to dig deeper into any of these stories or learn more about what we do, visit RadioHangar.com. I'm Tower. Whether you're pre-flighting for a dawn departure or winding down after a long cross-country, thanks for spending part of your day with us. Fly smart, stay curious, and never stop learning. Radio Hangar, clear skies, and tailwinds.